He has spoken on the topics faith, family and freedom in Cuba, Belgium, Brazil, Congo, UK and all over the USA to crowds from 14 to 40,000. International leadership speaker, trainer and coach. Author of Learn to Raw Leadership, Attitude Hack, Live a More Excellent Life, 5 Battle Strategies of a Victorious Warrior. 2021 President's Lifetime Achievement Award recipient. Founding partner of the John Maxwell Team. Toastmaster International Speech Competition semi-finalist. Founder of Tell It Like It Is TV, ThatGuyRocks.com and ThatGuySpeaks.com. Creator of Story Power TV, Transforming Grace TV, and Leading Leaders Podcast. Producer of 4 TV programs and podcasts for Liftable TV and World Trumpet Television, as well as multiple social media channels. Please help me welcome J. Lauren Norris.
I said to my son, "You hear that squeaky, 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 squeaky sound every time your pickup pulls out of the driveway?" He's like, I don't hear it. I don't know what you're talking about. I said, "Well, try rolling down your window and turn it off the stereo because it's so loud. I'm surprised you can hear anything. But listen for that squeaky, squeaky, squeaky. Every time you stop at a red light, every time you stop at a stoplight, every time you pull in and out of the driveway, you're going to hear a squeaky, squeaky, squeaky." He said, "Yeah, it's kind of annoying. I just turned the radio up." And I said, "That's a really bad idea, because I can tell you what that squeaky, squeaky, squeaky is." And he drove off and texted me and said, "Tell me when I get home." I'm going to tell you the power of the balance between telling a story and teaching in today's episode of Leading Leaders. Subscribe now for our extensive video library of leadership lessons promoting faith, family, and freedom. I'm J. Lauren Norris with Leading Leaders Podcast. And yeah, he drove off, went off to work for the day, long day at work, went to see his girlfriend at the end of the day, and called me just about dark. And he said, "Dad, my truck won't go anywhere." I said, "Does it still squeaky, squeaky, squeaky?" He said, "No. It just, the engine revs and then it doesn't go anywhere." And I said, "Oh. So you probably should have waited to hear what the squeaky, squeaky, squeaky is, because it's a telltale sign. It's kind of like when you hear a moose call in the wild. If you're the only one out there, it's time to leave town, because that moose call is either he's scared or angry, or he's looking for a mate. And in neither one of those instances are you safe. It's time to get gone. Maybe like a bear call in the middle of the night." But see, he didn't want to hear what the squeaky, squeaky, squeaky was. It wasn't important to him. He didn't know. He didn't understand. Not my concern. I mean, if it squeaks, maybe you think back to Red Skelton when he did the whole illustration about the door opening and closing. And he put little oil on the hinges and a little oil on the hinges, and he would open and close the door and it would still squeak. And he did all the hinges and it would still squeak, and he couldn't figure it. So he finally put the oil on his elbow and the squeaking stopped. Well, maybe putting a little oil on it makes the squeaking stop, but that particular sound, and if you've ever heard it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. All the old dudes are already going, yeah, he had bad U-joints. Which is why he's calling me from the side of the road, because his U-joints finally just gave out. The drive shaft fell. Now, lucky for him, it fell from the back. It fell from the back axle, was bouncing on the ground. It didn't do a whole lot of damage, because that's an awful noise when the drive shaft starts dragging on the ground. That's a lot of metal on a lot of concrete. It's really loud. It's hard to ignore. And the fact that you just can't go anywhere. But it's still spinning, and it's still beating up the ground and making a whole lot of smoke and dust underneath your truck. And so I drove to him on the side of the road, and I said, "Remember that squeaky, squeaky, squeaky sound?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "That's the sound of U-joints about to go out." And if you'd asked, I would have told you that. And I would have said, "Hey, stop at the parts store and pick up a couple of U-joints for the front and the back of the drive shaft, because it'll take us about an hour to change them. We can do it in the driveway with some really basic tools. But if you don't do it, you might find yourself stranded on the side of the interstate with traffic buzzing by you, and that is not the place you want to change U-joints. Oh, and by the way, the parts, normally about $20. It's not that big a deal, but you do have to do it." All right, so let's fast forward a few years. And if you're driving a vehicle that has U-joints, which means you're driving something not electric, then you hear that sound, that squeaky, squeaky, squeaky. You might even hear it if you've got a front-wheel drive car when you turn the steering wheel and you back out of the parking space. But it doesn't sound like squeaky, squeaky, squeaky. It sounds like click, 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 pop, 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 pop. If you're already hearing that sound, get to a mechanic. Because right now you have a couple $100 problem. But the next level, it's a few $1,000 problem. And if it fails while you're driving down the road, you may find that you see the videos all the time. The front wheel just leaves the car and it's got a little stick coming out of the side of it. That's when the axle separates from inside the transmission or inside the rear end and it just leaves. It'll just leave the car while you're driving. It does happen. It could happen to you. If you're hearing those telltale signs, you should probably do something about that before it becomes a disastrous moment in your life. Now, the question you're asking yourself is, what in the world is all of this U-joint, CV-joint, axle conversation have to do with storytelling? It would have been real easy to say, my son had a U-joint problem in his old truck. And so we got out a hammer and some sockets and we changed out his U-joints. Okay. Thanks for telling me that. Or I could have said, you know what the U-joint does? The U-joint, also known as a universal joint, it's what allows you to transfer the power between the axle and the drive shaft, between the drive shaft and the transmission tail, between the transmission and all the planetary gears inside the transmission, right? Which are actually transferring power from the crankcase. And there's a ratio of how fast each one spins, the RPMs of the engine versus the RPMs or the transfer of power through the transfer case, the transfer transmission, the transmission tail, and then the drive shaft, and all of those different revolutions at different speeds. Well, then they have to change directions, because one device spins this way and the other device spins this way. And so there's gears that actually go together in the rear end. And then there's that movement between the rear end and the U-joints. And see, I could teach you all that and give you all those details. And a mechanic might critique me and say, you're not even using the right words. And then a 12-year-old might go, I don't even care to know that. And my mother might go, but can you fix it? Because that's all I want to know. My wife with the same thing. Can you fix it? That's all I want to know. And see, the challenge we have in transferring knowledge sometimes is that our ability to comprehend, to understand, to have that hands-on experience says, I possess a whole lot of knowledge around this that I'm trying to give to you. But if it's not an experience you've ever had, then the knowledge itself seems, I don't know, borderline useless. I mean, it's still knowledge. It's still understanding. It still might poke you with a new idea in your brain that you go, I wonder if that's what happened to me when. Or, I think I saw somebody on the side of the road with parts of their car hanging down from the bottom, and I wondered, how did that happen? But until I can synthesize the amount of knowledge, the Chilton's Manual of Understanding, if you will, if you've never seen a Chilton's Manual, I think I'm going to have to keep one of those in my library, even though most of the ones I have are for old cars I don't have anymore. But a Chilton's Manual is a very brilliant thing. It shows a diagram, perhaps the diagram of the tire on your car. And then on the next page, when you show it, it's the tire with all the lug nuts individually. And then it begins to break down what's inside the wheel hub. So you have your rotor and you have your brake pads and you have the actual brake caliper. And then all the nuts, bolts, and screws that are inside the brake caliper. And the drawing just continues to explode until you see every tiny little screw, spring, nut, valve, adjustment tool in the entire assembly. And for most people, they look at it from the outside of the car and go, yeah, tire. Maybe they can look far enough to say, oh yeah, brakes. I was practically raised by an uncle who was not a parts changer, but a mechanic. He never bought brake calipers until they were like crushed into dust. He would rebuild them. Same with alternators, same with starters. Most of us look at a starter, an alternator, a brake caliper and go, that's a replaceable part. Go to the parts store, get it. In fact, most alternators now come with a lifetime warranty because the industry realized there were so many mechanics that could rebuild them just by buying the brushes and the things that go inside them. They could rebuild them for $20 or $30. So why spend $200 on one? Well, now you can buy the rebuilt ones for a couple $100 or less. I think the last one I replaced was $65. two bolts, 10 minutes, even on the side of the road in the most complicated vehicles, less than an hour to replace an alternator. If somebody's charging you $400 for that, you're getting ripped off. But it does happen. It does happen. And the nicer the car, the harder they are to get to. I don't know why they do that, but it's true. Okay, so I can explain all that to you. I can tell you about my knowledge and experience and my busted knuckles and grease up to my elbows. Been there many, many, many times. Sometimes because I love it, and sometimes because I don't financially have a choice. But do you care about all that? No. But the minute I can put that into a story, like my son pulling out of the driveway with his squeaky, 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 and he just turns the radio up to make the squeak go away, that doesn't make the squeak go away. The problem is still there. Maybe you've disguised it. Maybe you've hidden it. Maybe you've ignored it. But the problem still exists. Now the question is, what are you going to do about it? How long will you live with that problem? How long will you fight through and still realize, I have a problem? Until the problem takes over your life. Maybe it's not a U-joint. Maybe it's a bad relationship. And there's warning signs. I mean, the squeaky, squeaky, squeaky is there in your relationship. It sounds like you never listen to me. You never come home on time. You're not paying any attention to me at all. Squeaky, squeaky, squeaky. But you ignore it. You move on to the next thing. You hope that nobody else notices just how bad it is. Just how bad your diet is. Just how bad your frustrations are at work. You're not showing up on time. Squeaky, squeaky, squeaky. And see, I can spell all that out for you as well. And now we've taken a story, an illustration, and we've extrapolated from that illustrations of other places where you might have the same kind of thing, that you have a problem. Maybe you don't know what the problem is, but you see the signs of the problem, the squeaky, squeaky, squeaky. And maybe even people from outside, like Dad, looking in at your car going, it's not supposed to make that noise. Or Mom, listening in on a conversation and going, you shouldn't say things like that to your spouse or to your best friend or to your significant other. Or maybe it's just your boss at work going, look, dude, I don't know why you're coming into work 20 minutes late 5 days in a row, but make it a sixth, then you'll be looking for another job. See, these are those outside warning signs of a problem that you've been disguising or masking or ignoring all this time. Now, I hope you're staying with me, because what we've done so far is we've looked at a story that pointed to a problem that had a solution that didn't get done until it became a bigger problem. Now you've got a bigger problem to solve. It doesn't matter if that's my son and the U-joints and now he's stranded on the side of the road, or it's you and ignoring your wife or your husband's need for attention and now you've got an extramarital affair, or it doesn't matter if it's you've loved chocolate for so long that you just can't get past it and your dentist has had to replace all your teeth and your doctor is trying to treat you for diabetes and high blood pressure and neuropathy. If you've been ignoring a problem in your life for too long, everybody else sees the warning signs. You're the only one ignoring it. Maybe you've turned up the volume. Maybe you've made other excuses. Maybe you've even done more malicious, more dangerous things in your life to make that problem seem small. But if I have to go to that degree to explain it, here's what happens subconsciously. At some point you say, well, that's not my problem, so, you know, you're not really talking to me. I don't do U-joints. I'm not a mechanic. I don't care about them. My husband takes care of the car. That's really the same thing. You're dismissing the problem, not making it go away, just ignoring it and deferring it to somebody else, blame shifting perhaps. In the psychology of things, it's real easy to go, well, that's not my problem. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. Now, here's the challenge for the communicator, for the leader, for the influencer. If I tell the story and then spend as much as I have, almost 15 minutes, taking the story and stretching the story like a Chilton's manual and blowing up all the bits and pieces of it and getting into the deep weeds of it, we've gone from a quick conversation, from a powerful and poignant illustration into a full teaching. There's nothing wrong with that. But at some point, you're going to have to decide every time you answer a question, do you have 2 minutes or 20? What level of maturity do you expect from the people on the other side? See, I'd be willing to bet just right here in this little town that I live in, where all the old dudes hang out, many of them retired military, many of them retired farmers, many of them still at 70 and 80 years old working the farm or the ranch every single day. They get up at 6 in the morning, sometimes 4 in the morning, they jump out on a tractor, they mow 20 acres, and when you see them in town at lunch, they're all dressed up like they got someplace to go. But they've been in coveralls since before the sun came up. Sit down with those old dudes and say, hey, you hear that truck at the stop sign? Squeaky, squeaky, squeaky. They'll all get quiet for a minute. And then maybe one of them will yell out, you better get them U-joints looked at. And another one might go, yeah, he'll pay the price for that squeaky, squeaky, squeaky. And that's the end of the conversation, because everything that needs to be understood is already understood. Everything that needs to be known is already known. And if you know the fellow, you might send him a text and go, hey, you couldn't have heard him at the stop sign, but your U-joints are squeaking on already. You better get that looked at. And if you understand that, that's kind of the meme. If you know, you know. And it doesn't need a long conversation, but it will probably spawn some stories. If there's four old dudes sitting around a table and they hear somebody else's truck go by with a squeaky, 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 the driver of the truck may have no idea what's making that noise. Might even be like my son with the radio turned up, can't even hear the noise. But all the old dudes, they got a story of that. They've heard it. They've seen it. They've been there. They've been stranded on the side of the road or out in the middle of the field when the U-joint finally failed. And all of that knowledge and all of that wisdom is synthesized into a story that you might hear and go, but how does that apply to me? Well, it may apply directly if you hear the squeaky, squeaky, squeaky. It might apply as a metaphor because there's something going on in your own life, your diet, your relationships, your finances. Trust me, that first letter that shows up from the IRS, that's a squeaky, squeaky, squeaky. You better deal with that, or you're going to find yourself stranded. The first time the bank calls and says, hey, we didn't get your car payment. Whether that's a direct transfer or you were supposed to write a check and put it in the mail or stop by the bank on your way home. That's a squeaky, squeaky, squeaky. You better deal with that. You can't put it off. Turning up the radio doesn't make it go away. The problem is still there. Are you catching on now? See, there's a place where the inside knowledge, the mechanical knowledge, the experience of the failed U-joint is an experience all on its own, and all kinds of problems can come from it. Then there's a place where that buy-in, that understanding that says a U-joint, squeaky, 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 turning up the radio doesn't make the problem go away. I'm going to ask you, how many things in your life do you hear squeaky, 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 and all you do is turn up the volume? See, I could stop right here if I was doing a workshop and tell people, I want you to write a list of all the things in your life that are squeaking. And you haven't fixed the problem yet. You've ignored it. You've turned up the volume. You've looked away. You've blamed it on somebody else. But you haven't dealt with the squeakies. Now, at that point, we've assumed the understanding that the squeaky represents not just a failed U-joint, but a failure, an imminent failure in some other part of your life. When you're teaching as a communicator on the stage, in a book, in a video, in a podcast, there's a balance between the story that you use to draw them in and that transition from the story itself into the teaching. Here's what I've found most effective, depending on the maturity level of the audience. If the audience is mature and astute and aware, self-aware and world-aware, I could probably just tell that whole story in 1 minute. And the assumptions and the presumptions of the synthesized knowledge of problems avoided and problems ignored become bigger problems is already understood because they're taking the illustration upon themselves. They're not waiting to say, well, I don't have a U-joint problem. I drive an electric car, so you're obviously not talking to me, because that would be a highfalutin, kind of an arrogant way of looking at the story. But those who are aware, self-aware, mature, willing to challenge themselves, are looking at the metaphor of the U-joint from the minute I start talking about that's what it might be, that you're ignoring a problem and you're masking a problem. And I don't have to spell out the problem. I don't have to Chilton's manual the mechanical issues. I don't have to explain the transmission. I don't have to do any of that. In 1 minute, I can say something like this. My son was driving out of the driveway the other day, and as he started to pull off, I heard the squeaky, 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 and I was like, oh man, I know exactly what that noise is. How many times have I dealt with the squeaky, squeaky, squeaky? And I flagged him down, and I said, hey, do you hear that squeaky, squeaky, squeaky? And he said, I don't hear a thing. And he turned his radio back up and drove off, and then texted me later and said, tell me after work what the squeaky, squeaky, squeaky is. But after a day at work, and then time with his girlfriend, and time doing his schoolwork, he texts me. He says, Dad, I'm stranded on the side of the road. My truck won't go anywhere. And I said, well, the squeaky, squeaky, squeaky caught up with you. Now you got a bigger problem to solve. And so we spent the weekend putting new joints in his old truck. Perhaps you got squeaky squeakies in your life right now, in your banking, in your finances, in your relationships, in your job. Maybe it is your truck. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're ignoring the squeaky squeakies, if you're turning up the radio and pretending it didn't happen, there's an imminent failure coming. Might take some time right now and write down all the things in your life that are squeaking. And ask yourself, what do I need to do about it? About my health, about my finances, about my relationships, about my job. Because if you don't deal with the squeakies, you're going to have a problem. Now see, if I use a story like that, less than 2 minutes, yes, I'm running a timer just to make sure that I'm not making things up. If I'm telling a story like that in 2 minutes or less, and somebody can catch the metaphor and understand how it applies to them really, really fast, that's both a sign of their maturity and the crafting of my story. The ability to pull together that experience and say, here's what I learned in the moment. Here's the synthesized knowledge. Ignore the squeakies and problems get bigger. That's not complicated stuff. But I love the way John Maxwell says it. A great communicator takes something very complicated and makes it very simple to understand. Unfortunately, many teachers take something really simple and make it very complicated to understand. And many of them do it because they feel like they're proving their value. They're making themselves more valuable by making it more complicated for you to figure out. Let me simplify it. Whether it's your communications, your relationship, your job, if you're hearing the squeakies now, those are warning signs. Get used to the warning signs or get rid of the warning signs, but don't cover them up because an imminent failure is coming. As a communicator, learn to simplify. Work hard before you tell the story. Invest your own time, your own emotional resources into crafting a story that lands as a story and doesn't need 45 minutes of teaching on the backside for people to understand it, because they get it. They see the correlation. They see the relationship. They see the metaphor, and they see themselves in it. When you do that, you'll find that your stories, well, they're better stories. And if you'll work on those stories, being more concise, more precise in the way you tell them, then you'll have more powerful stories. And you will, as I train people to do, tell better stories better. If you'd like some help with that, visit storypowercoach.com. I'm J. Lauren Norris with Leading Leaders Podcast for Tell It Like It Is TV. Have a blessed day.
Lauren is a master teacher on storytelling, and I learned so much. I'm really going to have to sit down and go back through everything, and I think I might have to have some more coffees with Lauren, but it was totally worth my time, and I really highly recommend it if you're looking to grow your ministry, grow your business, grow your career. Lauren will serve you well.
Thank you.